Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is an ancient military saying, dates all the way back to ancient Greece. It's attributed to Archilochus, one of the first Greek poets. He says that under pressure, human beings tend not to rise to the level of their expectations, but rather fall to the level of their training. This is something that every military in our modern day operates under. It is the same principle under which all of our sports teams and anything that requires repetitive action, they operate under this principle that we train and train and train so that when one is under pressure, we fall back upon the training and not need to dig down deep and figure out how to act in certain circumstances. Our Lord, after he is baptized, after the Spirit descends upon him, after the Father says, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," that same Spirit leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted by that great accuser and deceiver, that ancient serpent, the devil. This is his first training ground, as it were. Luke's gospel makes it well known that our Lord is fully human, that he grows in wisdom and in stature, that to be about his mission on this earth for us men and for our salvation, he must train. And so the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness to begin his training in resistance to the temptations of the evil one. All of his life prior to this has also been training. He's been raised up in the wisdom of God. He has learned the scriptures. He has learned how to obey his earthly parents and other earthly authorities. He submits himself under the will and word of God the Father. And so he goes. He fasts for 40 days. He waits. The tempter comes to him and begins to tempt him with three temptations. If you are the Son of God, that is the heart of the temptation. If God the Father is really your Father, then why would he put you in this situation? Why would he let you be tempted by me? Why would you even be in this position to begin with? We know this temptation well, don't we? When we find ourselves under pressure, one of our first instincts is to point fingers. Whose fault is this? And rarely do we remember that often we have a goodly amount of role within that. But the point remains. The devil seeks to get at this human nature, which is to displace blame. To speak of our faults in the passive voice, "it happened" or "it was done," instead of "I did." If you are the Son of God, then why are you out here? Why does God let you suffer? Why does he bring you to this place? Make these stones into bread. It is written, the Lord says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In our day, we don't think of it that way, that we live by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We tend to think of God as just the one who started everything, who put it in motion, who created the laws of physics and of biology. But who is to say that every morning God does not say, "Let there be light so that the sun can come up"? Who is to say that God does not say every morning, "Let this person rise from his bed to go about his work and his duties"? Who is to say that God is not actively, as St. Paul continually reminds us, that everything lives and moves and has its being because of the word of God? Who is to say that that does not happen? It is written, when those things are flown or flung into our faces, it is written that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That we live by his word and only by his word. So Satan then starts quoting scripture to our Lord. If you are the Son of God, if the Father is really your Father, then cast yourself down from the pinnacle of this temple. And as the scripture says, the psalm for today, Psalm 91. His angels will bear you up. He will not let you stumble. He will save you. Here, Satan is trying to trick Jesus into relying upon the word of God in a way in which it was not meant to be relied upon. In a way in which it covers up our real desires. When we begin to use the word of God to excuse our feelings or our thoughts or our sins, instead of the word of God exposing and calling us to confession and repentance. We see this all throughout our world today. Love is love. Love, though, does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. But we have other aspects of this that come upon our lives, where we use the word of God to excuse our inaction instead of the very reason for us to act. Oh, they know where I stand. It doesn't matter where you stand. It matters where God stands. Assert the word of God to them. So, at his wit's end then, the devil takes Jesus to the highest mountain, puts before him all the kingdoms of the world. If you bow down to worship me, this will all be yours. As though the King of Kings and Lord of Lords does not already have all of these things. This is a trick to try to get Jesus to accomplish his mission, the reason he was sent for us men and for our salvation, by another means. How often do we twist and turn things so that we can do what we want to do and make it only appear right? This is training. This demonstrates to the Lord, it exposes his real enemy, the devil, and the mistreatment of God's word, so that as he goes throughout his ministry, he can identify it when it is presented to him. so that when he is under pressure, he can see it for what it really is. It is an attack of the evil one. That is why Jesus, in his interactions with his own disciples and even the scribes and the Pharisees of his day, this is why he can say, "Get behind me, Satan," because he sees who's really behind it. Or why he can label the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews, to say, "You are of your father, the devil, the father of lies." This is his training ground. Getting him ready for the real temptation, the temptation that comes upon him in the Garden of Gethsemane, to have the cup pass, that he would avoid the cross and the suffering, that he would not do what he was sent to do, which is to be crucified, to die, and to rise again for us men and for our salvation. For us. And he fell to the level of his training. I think there is something in this for us as well, not just that our Lord accomplished the mission that he was sent to accomplish, but also in this time of Lent, this time of spiritual discipline, where we focus on spiritual warfare. All the texts have something to do with demons or demonic possession or the devil himself. We have something to imitate here, not just to rejoice in that he has done it for us, that he has shown us how we should also train ourselves as we wander the wilderness of this world, to recognize the modus operandi, the method of operation of our chief enemy, the devil, that he is going to twist the word of God, that he is going to seek to tempt us to distrust the Father's claiming us to be his children in holy baptism. That is why we have historically taken up some kind of extra discipline during this time. Some people give up a certain food or a certain activity. Some people add something. You know your weaknesses, right? I mean, I know mine. You know what you struggle with. You know the things that lead you astray from trusting and delving into the Word of God. Look at some of those things and find a discipline for these 40 days to train yourself, to say no to your fleshly desires, so that when you are found under the pressure of real temptation, you fall to the level of your training to say no, not to be led astray. It is a good thing to do. It is not the end all be all, for fasting and other bodily preparation are good, but they are not what makes us worthy before God. It is faith in his word. But we know that the devil does not have us, and that is the good news. We belong to God the Father. He has claimed us as his own. But that's why he's seeking to draw us away. So let us train. Let us work so that when he comes to tempt, we, like our Lord, will trust in God's holy word, submit ourselves under his divine care and providence, and attain the crown of glory which Christ has prepared for us by his blood. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.